keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. I'm also joined here by my co-host, Stevie Schwartz. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing well, Nick. Doing well. Went to the beach today. It was great. Water was great. Didn't get radiated out of my mind.
Nice. Yeah, man. Here in San Diego, we actually have really, really low radiation rates right now.
Yep. I mean, it seemed like a good time to go in. And actually, I know that we're shielded by LA from some strange topographical features that also happen to make that giant San Andreas fault out there. And, of course, the line of mountains that bring LA to the east and kind of trap everything there to our benefit.
Yeah, man, a few of my friends have a Geiger counter, and they went down there and actually tested out the waters here in San Diego, and it was well below the normal levels, even for before they, you know, upped it 300%. You know, after the Fukushima thing went down, you know, they changed the quote unquote allowable rates of radiation, and we're still under that. So we're at least safe here for now. I don't know about the Central Coast; they may not be as fortunate as we are, but for now, we're okay.
Right. I mean, we are, and you know, I don't know what they've been doing over there. For all I know, they've been planting all kinds of hemp and trying to prevent some huge outbreak. It's kind of been hush-hushed again, and we haven't heard anything about that issue. So, you know, who knows what they're doing over there to try to fix it, but they're not really they're not putting it out there at all.
Yeah, man, which is what's scary. Now, the last thing I heard about Fukushima was that they were working on building that ice wall, that underground ice wall to contain all the radiation, which doesn't really sound like a good plan to me, but then again, we're talking about the same guys that were trying to use duct tape to solve these leaks. I mean, it's just an incompetent bunch of fools over there, and it's all politicized, it's all corporatized. So the scientists and stuff probably, you know, the guys that actually have the ability to fix the situation probably have their hands tied. You know, and it's kind of one of these things where the media just completely ignores it. I don't know when the last time the mainstream media actually mentioned, or should we say the old stream media actually mentioned anything about, you know, about what's going on over there. So, hopefully, we can get some on the ground, you know, information or something here pretty soon.
Right.
I'll tap some of my sources and see if we can find someone that has some info.
Yeah, the latest thing I'm just reading is that they've just been struggling with the ice wall, and there's not really any other option they have. Although I do know from my own research that many a scientist has found hemp breaks it up at a vibrational subatomic quantum level, and it gets rid of its life-killing properties and kind of turns it more or less into a benign type of energy. And then, of course, there was that strange goop that started growing in the reactor core at Chernobyl, because now the radiation's finally subsided enough that they can use these advanced robots they have to go down there and collect this goop. And the goop's a bacteria, and it eats radiation. So, you know, Gaia creates always a balance in everything. Maybe the human race doesn't survive whatever balance comes, but there will be a balance, and the Earth will cleanse itself.
Yeah, man. It's kind of one of these things that always happens. Nature gets messed with, and nature recorrects. It corrects itself, you know. And I think nature is getting ready to expel some of these idiots that are ruining the world right now. And maybe we're working for nature in that aspect. At least that's the way I like to think about it. Now we got tons of news coming out. Again, the show up until and if this thing goes off in Iraq, I guess that's mostly what we're going to be focusing on, because you know we got to stem the flow of this war propaganda and all this madness that they're throwing at us from every angle.
Well, ISIS is actually doing exactly what Biden said we needed to do in 2006. They're doing it for us, which is enabling the stratification of Iraq to be separated along ethnic lines into three minor countries, breaking up the Middle East right in the center of it so it can never become a caliphate. This is all according to plan. This is great war gaming almost a decade ago, probably before then, that's coming to fruition. Now, of course, millions of people will pay with their lives, and we as a society here, for the people that invented these games and are playing them around the world, we'll be held accountable at some point. If you think you're let off the hook by living here, I didn't have anything to do with it, well, did the Roman citizens not suffer a horrible fate at the hands of the barbarians at their gates? The same thing can happen here, even though we are in an advanced era, and we can't let it get to that point.
Yeah, exactly, and it's all about blowback, and blowback is predictable, and like you were saying, so what these guys have cooked up for the Iraqis over there is predictable, and in all likelihood, this is the outcome that they were looking for, and we're seeing it play out right now, and everyone's acting like we got caught by surprise, and all the Republicans are acting like, well, we should have left troops there, and that would have fixed everything. The fact is, leaving troops there would have made the situation worse, because just like in Afghanistan, the more presence the troops have, the more insurgency there will be, and the more recruiting that the insurgents can do.
And not only that, but think of the tech these guys now have. They took over this refinery. I've been reading up on that. And it's the hugest refinery in the Middle East. It's massive. It's bigger than anything Saudi Arabia has in one site. It produces an enormous amount. I think it was something like almost 1.5 million barrels a day, which is enormous. And the problem with that is that it also is connected to this power grid that runs down to Baghdad and powers pretty much everything down the Tigris. And it's going to be cut off, and then they're going to siege Baghdad. You know what I mean? And this is a huge problem because Baghdad's, what, 3, 4, 5 million people? I don't know how many live there, but it's several million people. We're going to see this major siege, an unprecedented one. And now we can't hope to use even the most pinpoint missiles for air support because we'll hit all the civilians. So, you know, people that think we're not going to put boots on the ground, you know, that's wishful thinking to me.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I mean, they've already sent 275 guys that they've admitted to. And here's the other thing that a lot of people are forgetting here. Now, when Obama first announced that they were pulling out of Iraq, did we forget that there were all those news stories about how we were going to leave thousands and thousands and thousands of contractors over there, military contractors that are on government payroll,
right,
to, you know, quote unquote security contractors. To keep oil rigs safe and to keep these refineries safe. And, you know, we're talking about this huge refinery up there. Let's face it, it was probably being – the reason why it held out so long wasn't because there was these inept Iraqi army guys there. We probably had it – there was probably a bunch of American contractors defending that place.
Yep. Yeah,
so that's
sure.
Why we're there.
I'm sure. So, you know, it took them a while to get through, you know, I don't know how many guys, maybe a few hundred – were holding off 10,000 of these psychos, and they airlifted them out, man. They're not going to risk these guys. And, you know, the Iraqi military now has a fight on their hands, and they're going to they are recruiting. Actually, the 17, 18-year-old generation, the guys that have grown up under our occupation and are now pretty much westernized, they don't want Sharia law in their country, and they're going to fight back. This is an unanticipated rush. I mean, we haven't seen something like this happen since right after 9/11 for us, where people would just join up to fight these guys.
Yeah, man, and I mean, the policy is so clouded here, and whether by design or not, let's look at something else here. They're going to try to use this Iraq situation, because let's face it, Obama's already got the power to go into Iraq. He has this mandate, and it's not expired yet. He could go in there unilaterally. He doesn't got to go to Congress. He doesn't got to ask the American people like they ever ask the American people. But this is a backdoor into Syria, man. And I was reading an article from stopwar.org. I have an excerpt that I'm going to read from another article that I got from their site. Excellent site, actually, about the war and about what's going on over there. But we also covered it on the anti-media. Justin King covered it as well. They're going to try to – they're basically – I don't know if you saw the rhetoric, but – they're saying, yeah, well, we can't just stop in Iraq. We gotta take these guys out in Syria as well. Well, here's the problem. These are our guys, and when they're in Syrian territory, those are our guys. They're our allies. That's the thing that's hilarious about this whole not hilarious, but just sickening. The ISIS fighters are on our team when it comes to Syria, but they're not on our team when it comes to Iraq. So they're saying, okay, well, we should use this as an excuse to be able to go in and start bombing Syria and act like we're going to bomb ISIS, when the reality is that they're going to try to bomb to overtopple the Assad regime, so that Assad can't build this pipeline from Iran through Iraq into Syria. That's the plan. That's what they're trying to stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's got many, many, many lasting effects that'll happen, but honestly, just the polarization of the whole region and preventing any of these countries from ever truly being stable. Even Saudi Arabia now, they've been found to be the financiers in large part of ISIL, and they're going to suffer major backlash. I mean, don't think that Saudi Arabia and Iran probably aren't on the verge of having their own little war themselves, along ideological and now these dirty trick wars, where, you know, if we found out that another country was arming, I don't know, say, a bunch of guys across the border in Mexico who kept hitting our military bases with advanced tech, we'd probably fight that country. And the same thing is going to happen in the Middle East when everybody finds out who's been backing who and for what and why, and it'll break into open warfare.
Yeah, man, it's just an awful, awful situation. Now, I was reading another article before we get all the way into this Iraq thing. One thing to note here is that there was a piece posted over on Washington Times from some kind of research institute. Apparently, America has now dropped to the 101st most peaceful nation in the world. So when it comes to peace, there's over 100 other countries that are above us. And this isn't just it factors in foreign policy. But it factors in a bunch of other things. Now get this. The economic impact of containing levels of violence cost the U.S. economy $1.7 trillion, or more than 10% of the GDP in 2013, translating to more than $5,455 per U.S. citizen. Okay? And now this factors in the military presence overseas, the militarization of the police, the incarceration rate, the cost it takes to keep people in prison, and all the counterterrorism efforts that we've been doing. So we're talking about 1/10 of our economy going towards this stuff.
Well, it's this, and that's the entire endemic. It's an industry, and people rely on it and fight. People right now are literally fighting to keep fighting. There's people right now that are ruining lives, that are probably taking people out worldwide to keep this arms race and industry and warfare pretty much system going, because it does. It floats the wealth to the top. Now, thankfully, from what I've been reading from sources that are kind of more off the ball, things are starting to change at the top, and I think we're starting to see those rifts. Like, there is this big push for disclosure and for people coming out of the shadows, at least a segment of them, because we're at the point now where we cannot survive a war. We cannot have World War III. No one will live through it, not with what's been developed and what the big three, Russia, China, and the U.S. have to use on each other. There's just not going to be anybody left after it, and the people at the top know it, and they're just not, some of them at least, aren't that crazy. They realize it's the end of everything.
Yeah, fortunately, we talked about that on Monday too, is, you know, fortunately, I mean, if it were strictly just these completely maniacal oligarchs at the top, then they would have already wiped out the population. But fortunately, there's some kind of balance up there that keeps them in check, at least partially, to where they're not just going out wiping everybody out. Maybe people at the top are trying to buy us time. Maybe they have hope that us as people, as citizens of the world, will eventually take back the power back into our own hands. You know, and they're trying to just buy us time.
Imagine this: if there's some subsidy that, through political will, especially of the people, would pretty much subsidize, I don't know, turbines and solar panels for everyone's private residence. And then on top of that, we went ahead and pushed through the solar panel roads. All these different things where it's groundbreaking stuff, but we can do it. We got the cash to do it, and we have the people out of work right now to do it. If we push through all these things, the wars end tomorrow. Because we're the ones that figurehead everything. We consume the most energy and resources, and we pretty much drive the engine of the world economy that's sputtering now and is about to stall. Well, it doesn't have to stall. It just needs to be changed over to a completely different kind of engine. And instead of control, it'll just become unmitigated intellectual growth. We'll get off this planet, and we'll colonize, and we'll become what we could become, which is, I don't know, anything.
Yeah, I read a startling statistic the other day when I was doing some research for this article. Apparently, the Iraq war, now in upfront costs and physical costs and things, it's excess of $2.2 trillion. That's what the Iraq war has cost us so far.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you factor in the entitlements, all the benefits for the guys that went and fought, all the disabilities, all that stuff, we're looking at upwards of $7 trillion, right?
Yep.
Now, these guys did the calculations, and apparently if we would have instead invested that money in renewable energy, solar panels, wind turbines and stuff, guess what? 60% or more, some people say all of our energy could be coming from renewable energy right now. At least 60% of it, if we would have invested that money instead of this war in Iraq, invested in renewable resources, guess what? We wouldn't even be relying on oil anymore, and we'd all be driving electric cars.
Yeah, exactly. And we've known that. I mean, just watch death of the electric car. You know, 25 years ago, we had a car that went 200 or 300 miles on a lithium battery. It was lightweight. It still did great in crash tests. And it was going to revolutionize everything. And what happened? Well, they're all sitting in a parking lot in the desert somewhere now. So we know it's about control. There's a big, big, big portion of people that are fascist, and they want to continue this system at all costs. And they'll start as many wars and kill as many people as possible to perpetuate it. And there's another group of people that were probably a long, long time ago even on the same wavelength with the other group. But over time, they've realized this is just absolutely genocidal to ourselves, to our own race of people. The humankind cannot live through, number one, World War III, and number two, ecological destruction. We can't perpetuate what we're doing in either way, form or fashion, and nobody will survive what's coming. So we have to make the fundamental change. Now, you're right, Nick. I think people are buying us time. I think me and you are at the very, very tip of a spearhead where we realize, hey, if I had 150, 200 grand, I could buy a house and be off-grid today. And I'm going to work for myself from point A to point B now, which is the grave. We can change the entire way of our lives, but we have to make it popular.
Yeah, man. And I can tell you one thing. This war in Iraq is very, very unpopular. And it's only popular in the neoconservative sphere, you know, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Obama's advisors. Honestly, I don't think Obama himself, he doesn't want to go into this war. Obama, the more I look at the guy, I can tell that he actually came into office having good intentions, but he just, the system is so corrupt, and they were able to blackmail him using the NSA so hard that now he's just a puppet, obviously. We all know that. All these presidents are just puppets. But I can tell that he doesn't want to do it, but he's still going to. Now, here's the latest from the Associated Press about the military assets nearby Iraq getting ready to strike. Six warships in the Persian Gulf, including the aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush, which is very ironic, a cruiser, three destroyers, and an amphibious transport ship, the USS Mesa Verde, which is carrying about 550 Marines and five V-22 Osprey hybrid aircraft. These Osprey things are absolutely insane. I'm sure you've seen them. They fly over. They did most of their training here in San Diego, but they basically can take off like a helicopter, and then their propellers tilt forward, and then they fly like a regular plane.
Yep, and I saw one of those flying today. Actually, at the beach today, Nick, I've never seen so many things flying, and I saw a B-52. I kid you not, with freaking props.
Were you at Coronado?
No, I was up in Torrey Pines, right by Miramar. I mean, they're rolling out the old-time stuff. They expect to use it or what? It doesn't need to be run and tuned up for nothing. It's very expensive and old and slow. But, I mean, having that plane ready to go is better than it not being ready. But you're talking about an old-time bomber flying around. I mean, we ready to go to total conflict, I guess.
Well, the other day, one of those, the biggest plane that they got when I was down at Coronado at the beach as well, because there's a base on Coronado, which is an island here in San Diego. They have about half of the island is a huge military base. I was sitting there on the beach. I didn't go in the water. I was just sitting there reading a book, and my brothers and stuff were in the water. And one of these huge transport jets came over, man, and it just scared the living hell out of me. I mean, we're talking about the biggest plane that the military's got. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, two F-16s came over. And they flew directly, like, about 100 yards over me, man. It was just not the best, you know, it wasn't the best beach experience I've had. I'm sitting there trying to read a book, and they got military planes coming 100 yards over my head. It's just insane. I see it all the time here at my place, too. It seems like I'm under some type of helicopter flight path, and they're always constantly flying over these military helicopters. I mean, how many shows have you guys heard the helicopters flying in the background? I mean, it's almost every show. Today is kind of quiet, but almost every day, it's like, man, every 15, 20 minutes, a helicopter flies over my house. It's just insane. But yeah, it really does seem like they're gearing up. We heard about those two jets that crashed a couple weeks ago, one off the coast of San Diego, another somewhere else, I forget where. But it's obvious that they're in a high alert, and they're readying all the assets, and they're factoring them, into the mix, and getting them ready, getting the guys trained and refreshed on all the stuff. But the next thing that they got down there, positioning near Iraq, about 5,000 U.S. soldiers across the border in Kuwait as part of a quote-unquote routine rotational presence. They include the 2nd Brigade, 4th Infantry Division, a combat aviation brigade, and two other support troops. Air Force aircraft capable of full range of missions positioned within range of Iraq. According to the Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James, they include F-15E, F-16, F-22, B-1 bombers, C-130 cargo planes, and A-10 attack jets. I think the C-130 is the one that I saw the other day. Now they also got intelligence gathering and surveillance assets, including drones in the region. Obviously, they've been flying drones over there for who knows how long.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've got a ton of assets in the region just waiting on Obama's keystroke. Or his sign of the paper, whatever it is that's gonna wind up killing a bunch of people and not accomplishing anything. Now, the fact is that these ISIS guys or ISIL, whatever you want to call them, a report came out that I found today that according to Jordanian officials, the U.S. Alright, sorry about the outage there, guys. I my internet goes down on me while I'm doing the show for, I don't know why, but it works fine for me all day. In fact, I got a new internet equipment and everything just to take care of this internet problem. And I don't know, every time I'm on the show, the internet decides to drop me off the call. So I mean,
it needs to. You need to get the. You got to get some custom built rig, man. Like, and get it with none of this, any kind of this malware shit that probably is already invaded.
Yeah, man. I don't know what they're doing, but it's like my internet works completely fine all day, and then when we do the show, it just goes out on me. But we're up and running now. If you guys, anyone want to call in, please call in. Let's chime in on this Iraq stuff. I want to hear some other viewpoints and stuff. If you guys want to call us, it's 718-717-8296. You guys can call us from any phone number anywhere in the world. 718-717-8296. So yeah, we were talking about how these Jordanian officials have admitted that the U.S. was training some of these ISIS militants within Jordanian borders. I mean, that's what we were doing. We were training those guys, like we said at the beginning of the show. When these guys are in Syria, they're our allies, and now that when they're in Iraq, they're not our allies. You know, and it's just a product of this jumbled, bogus foreign policy that has no objective other than to create perpetual war and to secure centralized resources. That's it.
Yeah, that's all it is anyway. That's all banking is anyway, and all central banking is anyway. It's just consolidation of resources for the ruling elite, and that's all. It's all it's ever been. Yeah, man. I'm reading some staggering stuff right now about basically how a lot of people are predicting a global reset on the economy in August. I had no idea that the United States owes the ECB, which is the central bank of Europe, $3 trillion. I don't know if you knew that, Nick. But these things are starting to stack up to the point now where I'm reading we're $89 trillion in the hole. Our entire GDP is what, 16?
About $16 trillion, yeah.
I know we can't ever pay it back. I think the interest alone is more now compounding at this point. Now, when we talk about a reset, I'm not sure exactly what that's going to mean for our country, or should I say our company, as it may be divided and sold into pieces of as the assets that they are. At least that's what it seems to me. We're that insolvent. The only thing that holds us together is our military.
Yeah, man. You know, all this spending is sooner or later going to catch up to us. And people were asking, you know, I was on a radio show last night, Citizens Awareness Vanguard Radio. You guys check them out. They're pretty funny, pretty good show. But we were talking about it, man, and it's just one of these things where they're spending us into oblivion, and there's no way in hell that we're going to pay it back. Our grandkids of our grandkids are going to be paying for this Iraq thing if the system stays in place. And I don't really want that. I don't want my grandkids to have to pay for this Iraq thing because I didn't choose to do it. If I chose to do it, yeah, maybe my children should be liable for that. But I didn't. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't vote for these guys. I didn't sign any contract that gave them power over me to use my money to spend it and kill people. You know, but they're still doing it. So in my opinion, it's like everything they're doing is basically unjust and just completely, I mean, it should be thrown out. I mean, if any of us could take the government to court and say, hey, look, I didn't sign up for this. I mean, I think that we should be able to win because we didn't. I don't remember signing any contract that said I was going to be liable for all this stuff.
Well, that's your birth certificate.
Exactly.
Your parents signed it away for you.
Exactly, and I personally didn't sign up for it.
Yeah, but they've pretty much been leveraging what you've been making your life all your life. You know, that's what the definition of our deficit really is. It's that the trying to dumb down of the American populace has worked really well, and we've started to make a lot less, and now we're in a massive deficit.
Yeah, man. Let me dive into this Iraq thing because I just want to hit on this as much as we can here because new information comes out every day on this Iraq stuff.
Right.
And just to point out how absolutely illogical it is for us to be over there. First of all, we talked about the oil, the fact that we could already be basically 100% renewable energy by now if we would have invested the money in legitimate infrastructure instead of getting this oil, which is being profiteered by these few corporations. And you know, we talked about it on Monday, how fossil fuels, centralized fuel production, it basically is an existential threat to our freedom, because fossil fuel can be and is and always will be centralized and controlled and distributed by a very few amount of people. So we talk about getting off the grid all the time. Well, let's talk about this fossil fuel stuff just being completely, completely against all these principles that give us any chance at freedom. Now, I got this excerpt here from an article over on stopwar.org.uk, and it was from WikiLeaks. Now, I don't know if you remember, but WikiLeaks leaked a bunch of these emails from Stratfor. Did you remember that? Stratfor is a military contracting company that does a lot of consulting about national security and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
So this is what Stratfor warned, and I quote, "The new government's attempt to establish control over all of Iraq may well lead to a civil war between Sunni, Shia, and Kurdish ethnic groups. The fiercest fighting could be expected for control over the oil facilities." Okay. Now, this is an email that they've sent to the government. And this is from the early 2000s, soon after we toppled Iraq and installed the puppet government. But they also said, "This may give Washington several strategic advantages. After elimination of Iraq as a sovereign state, there would be no fear that one day an anti-American government would come to power in Baghdad, as the capital would be controlled by Jordan. Current and potential U.S. geopolitical foes in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Syria would be isolated from each other, with big chunks of land between them under control of pro-U.S. forces. Equally important, Washington would be able to justify its long-term and heavy military presence in the region as necessary for the defense of a young new state asking for U.S. protection, and to secure the stability of oil markets and supplies. That in turn would help the United States gain direct control of Iraqi oil and replace Saudi oil in case of conflict with Saudi Arabia." Okay, so what we have here is direct communication from one of the government's biggest and most influential contractors to the government, basically stating the case of what exactly would happen if they did what they did, in which they carried out. You know, and now it's playing out just like you said, just like we talked about at the beginning of the show. This stuff is playing out exactly how they wanted it to. You know, it's not that their foreign policy has gone wrong. It's that it's gone right, because now they can keep these guys fighting each other for who knows how long. Meanwhile, we continue to siphon off the oil, and then we're able to fund both sides of the equation through these proxies and through our allies in the region.
Wow. Yep, it's all war games. That's all. It's just a theater. And it's working great, man. It's just keeping, you know, instead of having these guys who, I don't know if you saw the article with the ISIL, was saying, you know, as soon as we wrap up our caliphate here and get everything solidified, we're going to come over and attack you in America because you pretty much abandoned us to Assad's forces in Syria. Well, you know, that works according to plan, though, because now it's going to be just unstable forever. They'll be fighting each other, and there'll be these mini countries fighting each other forever.
Yeah, and, you know, all this stuff, now all this, everything that's being done, it's being sold for national security, right? It's to keep you and I safe. It's to keep our families safe and to keep us in our American way of life. Now, unfortunately, the policy is not doing that. In fact, it's having the opposite effect. And despite the fact that we are the world's reserve currency, there's a few things that I want to note here. Meat, poultry, eggs, and fish prices reach record highs.
Yep.
Okay? Gas prices right now are setting seasonal record highs. Produce prices, much of the produce is set to reach record highs this summer. They're blaming it on the drought and the ice in the east, which is utter BS. Gas prices are up. So, I mean, what we're talking about here is the complete undermining of the middle class via inflation, via high gas prices, via control of the gas supplies. And then they're going to be able to sit there and they're going to try to turn this and say, see, this is why we need to not pull out of Iraq, because then we're going to have a bunch of high gas prices. Well, here's the thing. If you look at the gas prices and why they go up, they coincide directly with the monetary policy and the fact that the Fed just keeps pumping the bubble full. So everything that they're doing, every time they drop another bomb on Iraq, every time they finance another militant in Syria, every time they send billions of dollars to the puppet regime in Ukraine, guess what? They're sending the middle class down the drain, because every single time they do that, they don't got the money to do it. They have to find the money out of thin air, which increases the volume of money in the supply, which waters down everybody else's money.
Right.
And it boils down to that. So national security, no. You're undermining our national security by undermining our personal freedoms, our personal security, our food security, our energy security, our job security. Because if you don't got money to pay for gas, you can't get to work.
Well, and then where does it end, man? Like, if it keeps going down the path of a small percentage of people control the resources, and it's all legitimate and legal, because if you have a family with a certain extreme type of wealth, you get invested into everything and you just start to control everything. There's just nothing that really can stop you. And we're getting to that point where, like, the wealth's so super concentrated that soon even people with what they think are good jobs are going to be barely making it, and then everyone will be on food stamps, and one day they'll stop. And it'll cause chaos. And out of that chaos comes new order. And that's the whole blueprint. That's all it is. That's all it's ever going to be. And it's getting close to the point now where they can implement it, because nobody can grow crops. Nobody can plant their own food. Nobody can live without electricity right now. Not really. I mean, maybe in the third world, but even there, they'd have major issues with food. So it's the control grid's already so set up and so fragile that if people don't start to become self-sufficient soon, and I don't even think it's a few years, I think it's going to be quicker than that. I think we're going to see warning signs within a couple months that they're going to be at the mercy of whoever has food. And that's going to be the reality of it. It's not going to matter if you have guns or whatever, because the government's going to have way more guns. It's just going to be, can you get food to eat? And that's it.
Yeah, man. And, it all boils down to food, and we talk about it so often. That's why I'm so big with this whole march against Monsanto thing, because to me it's more about food freedom than it is about just Monsanto, because Monsanto is just the poster child of why we don't have food freedom.
They're just the exploitation of what should never be exploited, which is something that's called Maslowian, that we all need to survive. Food, water, clothing, shelter, that's it. Those things should always be subsidized by society, but I guess people are too swayed by the notion that everything should have profit.
Yeah, now let's not forget that we were supporting Saddam Hussein back when he was still our buddy, and we gave him the weapons to gas the Iranians, and we gave him the weapons to gas his own population, to gas the Kurds. And again, it plays into the long game, because even then we were trying to foment dissent back over there and to keep the area unstable, because it's just like what they do to us. Think about it in a micro scale, on a smaller scale. What do they do to us? They say, okay, you guys are going to be Republicans and Democrats, and you guys are going to hate each other. Meanwhile, we're going to rob the entire effing country blind. Okay, and that's think about it. Whenever we see this tactic, this divide and conquer thing, I mean, it's so obvious that they're using it against everybody that they fight, and they're using it against us. And any movement that any political movement, any activist movement, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. Occupy. How did Occupy end? Divide and conquer. How did the Tea Party end? Divide, conquer, and co-opt. I mean, that's what they do. On a micro scale, they do it to us, and they do it overseas. They do it to everybody.
Yes. Just read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and that's it. It'll explain it in a nutshell. I mean, it's just the long game is on many different facets, because since World War II, we haven't really had a World War III for a reason. It's the end for everybody, and we all know it. And some people are crazy enough that they don't care, but for the long term, we've been able to hold them off. But that's what it is. It's just there's different kinds of war. People don't understand that, I guess, that military fighting is the last resort. At first, there's economic and trade wars. That's what starts everything, and that's what's going on. We want dominance in every single spectrum, and we want to basically plow anybody that could be a threat down into submission. I mean, right now we're economically subverting China, Russia, and even India. And people don't get that. How are we doing it? Well, in India with GMOs, in Russia with obviously our proxy wars and our energy wars, and then in China, well, it's quite simple. We're having them buy so many toxic bonds that they can't possibly ever fight us without imploding their own economy. And they're kind of at our whim.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of like it seems like such a big obstacle, you know. But really, when it boils down to it at the very end, the only thing that it is our belief in the system, you know, and that's all it boils down to. Because even with 30,000 drones, 30,000 drones isn't shit to 300 million people. It really isn't. But the fact is that there's so many people that are going to buy into this system all the way up until the very end. And I mean, we're looking at the Fed here, and the Fed is still worried about deflation. And we just talked about every one of our staple prices, our fuel, our food, our energy prices, they're all going up. And the Fed is sitting here worrying about deflation. I mean, are they insane? Are they blind?
They are worried that their bonds will cease to have value because they can't extract additional labor out of a populace that simply will not pay any more tax. They have to find additional ways to generate revenue. And if they can't, then what they need to do is decrease the buying power of the populace to kind of even it out. Now, what happens when that happens in an extreme? Well, that's called a Great Depression. And when it becomes a true Great Depression is when food itself becomes unaffordable, like it is in many parts of the world right now. People simply can't afford to eat, which is kind of silly. And this is where I get back to the whole, and I love your idea of just re-aggregating all of this BLM land, all these acres sitting around doing nothing. They need to be planted and feeding people, and no more of this food stamp nonsense.
Yeah, man, because if this is another thing I talked about last night on the radio show, is that if the more people that are dependent on government assistance, the less chances of enacting real change. So what we need to do is reconstitute all the federal land, which amounts to something like 650 million acres, which means if all the land was given to people that had a less than 100,000 net worth, I mean, we're talking about a lot of people getting a lot of acres.
I would just say this. If you're on government assistance right now, we're going to give you an acre and your government assistance is cut. Now, if you want to sell that acre, that's on you. If you want to plant that acre, we'll give you free equipment. We have, God knows, we have excess equipment of everything military. We sure as hell can create tractors and mows and barns for free and give it to people. If you could pay to get somebody off the gravy train forever and have tons of organic local farms everywhere, I mean, the government's insane to not do it. Our country could be an absolute utopia right now. It'd be a weird one because it'd be one where people would actually have some power, and that might be scary. But it'd be a utopia. Nobody would go hungry if they had their own farm.
Yeah, I mean, and once you democratize the food culture and the food systems, think about all the food that right now just ends up getting thrown away, 50% of it, while 1 in 6 go hungry. So if we did that, and while at the same time we started using these programs, I forget what it's called, I just found a program online the other day where these guys go through and they get all the waste product from all these restaurants, all these cafeterias, and all the stuff that would end up getting thrown away, and then they get that stuff, and then the next day they use it to feed a bunch of hungry people instead of the places throwing it away. I mean, how many school cafeterias throw away a ton of food? How many businesses throw away a ton of food? How many restaurants? I mean,
centralization used to be more efficient. Now it's not. That's scary for people that profit off of that. They're parasites. If things aren't centralized, they won't be able to parasite anymore. And they'll do anything to stop it. They simply cannot exist inside of a meritocracy where their own talents would have to suffice because they don't have any. because they're professional parasites. They're generational parasites. Somebody in the past had a great idea, but everybody since then in the family line was a professional parasite. And we got to stop the whole system from perpetuating this kind of nonsense. This is why bankers and central banks own and run everything. It's not because of talent or merit. It's simply because of exponential compounding interest. That's it. And it's our financial system that's allowing all of these pretty much crimes against reality to happen. Because we're following a false system of what? People create and you know, create wealth out of nothing. You know, and this is why the Muslim world is being fought against, because their banking system doesn't have interest. Let's be honest.
Yeah, Muslim investors don't believe in interest. So yeah, they have a different kind of system. A lot of them want to deal in commodities instead of fiat, and that's scary. That's why they toppled Libya. That's why they toppled Gaddafi. Let's face it, Gaddafi was planned out. There was that guy, I forget his name. He was like a someone. He was high up in the government, man, and he was saying, you know, we got a plan to knock over 7 countries in 5 years. You know, and Syria, Libya were on that list. Iran was on the list at the end. So it's all part of the long game that these idiots are playing. And like you said, they're not any smarter than any of us. They're not any more determined. They're not nearly as determined as a lot of the people that are on the good side of things, because the good side of things want things to get better. They're strictly driven by greed, power, all these things that are a symptom of a sick society. And that's what is driving these forces, and that's why we're going to be able to beat them. Because they can't win with these ideas. The good always ends up prevailing over time. And we just got to continue to evolve and just to get more effective and better at organizing and increase our reach and all that stuff. Continue our networking. Build communities, man. And I think that's the biggest thing. Build autonomous communities. Start with your own family, then to your extended family, then your community, then your town, then your city, then your state.
You know? I would say this. If you're working right now, it should be don't throw money into 401k. Don't put it into a bank account. Start thinking about a way to own outright a property and then have enough coming back to the grid that you get paid to live there. To me, that's my ultimate dream. I want a home that I own free, scot-free, that I'm plugged back into the grid with so much power coming in that the power company is paying me and pretty much paying my property tax, so that I'm going to just have a place to live forever. I'll never be homeless ever again. That's the key. Once you're at that point and you can have excess power, and you can make water out of thin air, and you can start planting crops, well, who cares if you ever get a job again? As long as you make that yearly property tax and you grow your own food and have your own water coming out of thin air, what could happen to you? You're good.
Exactly, and you're not able to be manipulated as much by the government, you know, and let's face it, that's what it's all about, is getting...
What can they do to you? Honestly, seriously, what can they do? What can they do to anybody if everybody's needs are met by themselves? And we have our families to take care of us when we are sick or injured. There's nothing they can do, man. That's the ultimate goal. We want the 50s lifestyle for everyone on Earth.
When that becomes a reality, then the need for government will fall apart. We'll realize that it's just a construct of our imagination, and that a few idiots at the top were capitalizing on everybody's blindness. And when we get to that point of total independence and total, localized security, personal security, meaning you're taken care of as far as when it comes to food, you're taken care of when it comes to water, you're taken care of when it comes to energy, then guess what? The government will cease to have a role in society. And I think that's really our next big step as the human race, is to understand that. Now, how far out do I think we are? I don't know. I think that we're at least 10 to 15, maybe 20 years out, but it could be a lot longer. I mean, it could be a couple hundred years out. But sooner or later, we're going to start learning from the past. We're going to stop repeating the same mistakes that we've repeated ever since the days of the Romans. And then we're going to finally know what peace is really like. We're finally going to know what a Star Trek economy is really like. It's just a matter of time, and sooner or later we'll get to that point. But yep. right now we're at the tipping point. We're at the balance where right now we're in a really tough situation. And this is I want to shift out of this Iraq thing. I think everyone listening gets the clue with Iraq. It's a horrible decision to go back in. We should have never gotten in there. We don't need the damn oil. The oil itself is an existential threat to our freedom. Let's get the hell out of there and let's stop taxing the hell out of people and let the communities take care of themselves. Let's stop robbing the community blind through either taxation or through Walmart. And let's let these communities start taking care of themselves and become autonomous. That's how we got to do it, man. Autonomous communities, just kind of like what people thought of with federalization, where every state is going to be basically autonomous, and then if you don't like a state, you can move to a state. I think that's too big. I think it should be a community. Every community has its own way of doing things. If you don't like a community, you can move to the next community over, or you can move to a community a little bit farther down, and find a place that you like where they do things the way that you like doing them. I mean, that's how, on a small scale, that's how the country was supposed to be set up in the first place. I think they messed up because the states were way too big. It should be done at the county level, at the biggest, you know, because every county is so different from each other. I mean, if you just look at San Diego County compared to Imperial County, which is just east of us, I mean, it's a completely, completely different place. It's like you're on the other side of the world when you go out there.
Yep.
You know, and so these people are you know, we share a congressional representative. San Diego and Imperial County share a congressional representative, you know, and that is not fair because those people aren't being represented because we have much higher numbers, you know. So we need to get it way back down. Decentralization is the key. Decentralize everything, in my opinion, whether it's the monetary system, the food system, the energy system.
That's why it's inherently – it doesn't make any sense. The whole New World Order blueprint makes zero sense because you can't – what are you going to do to people? Mind control everyone into a robot and get rid of their culture and the things that made them a person and their humanity and all of their strengths and weaknesses? And then these people at the very top controlling this technology, they're the same exact template of the people they're doing that to. They'll never evolve without the help of all of the rest of us. We need a huge gene pool to accomplish what we could accomplish, which is our true potential, where we can go out and do just about anything in this third dimension, because we have unlimited potential, unlimited and untapped potential. And if we continue down this road, where just a few people make all the decisions just out of fear of losing power and having this cushy life, we can all live like kings. And that's really the truth. With the technology we have, we could all live very self-sufficiently, educate ourselves, socialize within our communities, and get back to nature. And then when we all come to a consensus to leave a planet that we've already healed, we'll leave and we'll go off. But these cultural lines are not going to go away without something that's going to destroy everything it means to be a human. Transhumanism needs to make us better, not just superior.
Exactly, man. And now we're at a tipping point, I think. And we know it, one, because the economy has completely fallen to crap. We talked about it with the inflation, the food, the gas, all that. Okay. Now, the other thing that is very discouraging and very scary is the militarization of the police force. So basically, yeah, they're preparing for something bad to happen, real bad. 13,000 armored cars. I just saw one go down my street earlier today. No joke. And now, this is the big thing. If you look on Drudge Report, if you look on any conservative outlet, I watch Fox News and I watch all the news channels every morning just so I can get some, figure out their talking points, so I can figure out what they're lying about and what they're trying to distract us from. But this is the big thing going around right now. The immigration crisis. There's all these immigrants coming in and all this stuff. Now, Texas just authorized a bunch of money to go down and help militarize the border. Now, I think this is all part of the – not only do they want to militarize the cops, but now they want to come and militarize the border. Now, you got Glenn Beck coming out and saying, oh, well, I'm against the Iraq thing, but let's go ahead and just militarize the border instead. So if they're preparing for this economic collapse or mass civil unrest – which there was another great article out of The Guardian the other day, which basically says, yes, yeah, that's exactly what they're preparing for. Then militarizing the border is the last thing that we want to talk about right now. Because even Ron Paul said it in one of those debates. He's like, yeah, well, if you militarize the border, then one day that border can be used to keep us in.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think they're doing? How naive is everybody? Mexico doesn't want you to come down there when everything up here goes to crap. They're in close contact with our government, obviously. They okayed Fast and Furious, and they're in cahoots with the cartels themselves, which is why their own populace is now pretty much fighting them. And their own military is now about to turn on the government because they found out that they're working with the cartels they've been fighting. So the corruption there is to the extreme. Is it any better here? It's more organized here. And they're getting ready, man. They're not going to push a troop presence down there to keep out cheap labor. That would hurt the economy, man. They're doing it to keep people from trying to escape from what's coming.
Exactly, man, and that's exactly the point I wanted to get to. And now, that's why I definitely disagree with the militarization. Now, under the current system with the welfare statism and all that stuff, yeah, some of these immigrants may take advantage of the system, but yeah, that's a bad thing, but still does not compare to the amount of money being spent and the amount of destruction being done elsewhere, whether it be through corporate welfareism or through foreign policy. And, you know, the simple fact is, we talked earlier about how we've dropped to the 101st most peaceful, quote-unquote peaceful country in the world, and part of it was because of our massive, massive prison complex. And the prison complex and the immigration issue goes hand in hand with the drug war. If you talk to anyone that's coming up from Middle America, from Central America, from El Salvador, from Honduras, Guatemala, they'll tell you we're getting out of there because there is a huge uptick in drug violence, in cartel violence, gang violence. Well, guess what? It's all being fueled by the drug war. And all of our prison industrial complex, about 40-50% of it, is also being fueled by the drug war. So the drug war is hurting us on every angle, every side of it. The war on terror has done nothing but create more terrorists. Everything that the government is doing, it seems like, is completely ass backwards.
Don't buy into the forever war, because that's what they want you to think. Forever afraid and forever willing to give up your freedom just so you can be safe at night, and that's fake too.
No, but yeah, because we're not safe. We're being undermined by our currency. Nobody is going to be able to afford things very soon. Make sure you guys plant gardens. Get ready for this food price uptick.
Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.